My wife and I were in New York on vacation and walked a portion of what's called the High Line. The reason it's called the High Line is that it's way above street level.
It's an elevated railroad. It's about three stories off the ground, about 30 feet, and it runs for a mile and a half right through the middle of Manhattan.
Born and raised San Antonian Robert Hammond now lives in Chelsea, the Manhattan neighborhood sung about by Joni Mitchell and the place where those tracks were.
Now we've put up stairs and elevators every few blocks, and there's this wild landscape on top.
That wild landscape is actually a highly sculpted, very deliberate planting by internationally known landscape professionals. More on that soon, but first, a little backstory. The former elevated railroad track was slated for demolition.
Giuliani wanted to tear it down, but then the new mayor at the time, Bloomberg, was really supportive of it.
Hammond and acquaintance Joshua David had this wild idea that the hulking iron mess from a bygone era should be saved. Not that they had any experience that was even remotely related to their objective.
Josh was a travel writer, and my background was in small for-profit startup.
They faced a wall of opposition and had no practical experience.
Most of the people in the neighborhood just thought it was an eyesore.
Hammond and David finagled their way with the railroad owner to go up on top to see what it was like. What they found was nature reclaiming the elevated railroad.
There was this mile and a half of wild gardens running right next to the Hudson River, right through Chelsea in the meatpacking district in New York.
Their plans changed from saving the railway to repurposing it as a park. So they formed a friends organization and began raising money, amassing talent, and bungling their way toward their objective.
We thought our chances were about 1 in 100 of it happening.
What point did you go, we're going to pull this off?
I don't think it was until we opened 10 years later that I really thought, wow, this thing is actually going to happen.
Fast forward to the present, Hammond and David pulled it off. Against the odds, they raised the money, convinced authorities to save the High Line, and more amazingly, in 2009, they turned it into a park. So what's it like?
It's always changing. It's always different grasses. There's parks with trees, and it's constantly in bloom. There's blooms that are coming up from February all the way to December.
The Friends of the High Line enlisted the help of several top horticulturists to re-landscape the unusual park.
Piet Uldoff is a Dutch horticulturist who's famous for these wild grasslands.
Multiple varieties of tall, windblown grasses mix with the flowers, shrubs, and trees of the High Line, four seasons of ever-changing nature.
It's not an escape from the city. A lot of parks are meant to be an escape. You know, Central Park is meant to be an escape from New York. Whereas the High Line is a part of the city. You're never escaping the city. You can see the traffic. You can see, you know, the taxis going by under you. You can see the buildings around you. And I think that's why people like it, because it's beautiful, it's full of nature, but it's part of the city.
Oddly, Hammond isn't the only San Antonian having such a big effect on New York's finest parks.
Betsy Barlow Rogers, who created the Central Park Conservancy, is from San Antonio. And Worry Price, who created the Battery Conservancy, is also from San Antonio.
Three San Antonians have helped shape three different standout New York City parks. The High Line takes no city money, instead operating as a nonprofit to maintain its park and 450 free programs and events each year. We've pictures and a documentary about the High Line at tpr.org. Jack Morgan, Texas Public Radio News.